Welcome to another edition of the Four Men For Real Show. I am one quarter of the four men host. I'm Conley on board. I got with us with Joe. Say what up, Joe.
Hey, what's up?
So right now, I guess we're starting off the show. So how's everything been going for you, big bro?
Pretty good. Just watching these current events, and boy, I tell you, it's amazing. You know, it's almost like we're repeating history. You know, because they always said, if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. If you look at it, back when Bush ran for office, before Obama, right before Obama, when Bush ran for office, he talked about building a border wall, and everybody was hot for building a border wall. Then all of a sudden, he decided this. Well, they did a study. They figured out how the wall was too expensive, how it would be better to use drones and different things like that, and sensors to figure out who's coming across the border than to try to build a wall, because it was just a lot of money to go and replace the wall every so often. So we ended up going with this electronic thing, and then after a while, after they figured out that was going to be almost too expensive, then they decided to send the National Guard down there. And Bush sent 6,000 National Guard troops down to the border and rotated them every so often. Well, aren't we right back where we started again? So President Trump has sent National Guard troops down to the border. So it's just like we're right back where we started all over again.
Well, I don't think he sent. I thought that they was in the process of passing the information to the governors so they can make whatever, you know, to lay in whether they were going to continue with the plans. I think he's just it's most of a bullshit.
They're already sending troops. As of today, there are people that are going to be showing up down at the border tonight.
I don't see. Well, Henry just joined on board, and what's going on, Henry? How you been, man? Can you hear us, Henry? Well, he might be.
I'm sorry. I was talking to mute. How y'all doing? Good evening, everybody.
That's fine.
Good evening.
Fine.
Yeah.
What did mute say?
Mute wouldn't respond to me.
Welcome back, sir.
that was too easy.
How you been, Henry? What you been up to for the week?
Nothing much, man. Taking it easy, just, you know, doing what I do. Not a whole lot. Keeping my feet to the grind, listening out, trying to figure out what's going on in the world.
That's good. That's good. Big E, what's going on, man? You jumped in. How's everything with you, big bro? I guess he's talking to mute too.
Good evening.
Eddie?
Yeah, I had it on mute. I'm good. Thanks for asking. It's good to hear from all of you all. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the season change, but I've been extremely drained lately. Even on Easter Sunday, I woke up to hearing my wife saying she's about to make my youngest son some chicken nuggets and french fries. So I got up because I'm like, why in the world is she making my son some chicken nuggets and french fries so early in the morning? And it was 11:45. And I overslept, didn't go to church or anything like that for Easter Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've been extremely drained and tired.
Allergies?
I don't know. I never heard of allergies making you tired. I've been taking like my Zyrtec and stuff like that, so I haven't had itchy eyes or itchy throat, anything like that. But I've just been extremely tired.
Okay. Well, hey, sometimes, man, you just get tired, man. Your body says, yo, screw it, man. We ain't doing nothing but sleeping right now.
Yeah. Well, that's where I've been. Y'all been
me,
good?
For me, for the last 2 weeks, man, you know, I've been battling sickness, man, trying to keep myself out of the hospital. Then in the last 5 days, my mother was hospitalized 3 times, including, or maybe even 4 if you include today. And literally, she goes, spend the night, they run their tests, they let her go. Within hours, my father is rushing her back. So as of right now, I have no idea what's going on to put her back in the hospital last night. Then as outside of that, battling the sickness, things have been pretty good. So before y'all jumped in, Joe was bringing up something on these current events, and I'm not going to spend too much time on the current events, but I did want to throw something out there. When he brought up that whole thing about the troops and stuff going down there to protect the wall, since, correct me if I'm wrong, since about 2005, there has been a decline, especially a decline of, I won't want to go far as say illegal immigration. I'll say immigration as a whole. There's been a decline of immigration all the way from 2005. And under President Obama, which Trump always throws his shots at, from the years that President Obama was in office, was the sharpest decline in Latino immigration to United States, which is one of the reasons why the Latino civil groups were giving him holy hell during his presidency. So Trump always wants to throw these things up, talking about Obama did a shitty job in X, Y, and Z. But the fact of the matter is that's not the case. So all this catering and pandering to the right-wing group about putting up a wall and that immigration laws and things like that is getting out of control, and Americans' way of life is threatening about getting taken over by these immigrants that are rapists and so on and so forth. It's a load of bullshit. I mean, the numbers show that immigration, Latino immigration, has been on a decline. Building this wall is nothing but a dog and pony show dance for his base. Now, this is my own personal opinion, but we're not these European countries. I do not see the reason why we need to staff our borders, and it sends a clear racist picture. Staffing our southern border, which is Mexico, with uniformed military personnel, it sends a loud and clear racial message to the rest of the world. Now, somewhat come accustomed, and I'm not the one to really speak on this matter. Maybe Joe and Henry, being ex-military, can. But you're going to do that to Mexico, but you're not going to do your border to the north. I think it's a clear. It shows, it's projecting your a clear racial picture of to the world about the United States and what it thinks of people who it feels inferior. Mexicans, the last time we had any really major was between 1984, all the way up till about 95, when we had a huge influx of Mexicans, i.e. Latino, rushing the borders, and them huge crossings that you used to see, i.e. Born in East L.A., that whole play out in that movie, so on and so forth. So it's a bunch of BS. It doesn't. It's all that is just to placate him and what he threw out during the elections. The other thing in the news that really kind of rubbed me the wrong way is that guy Stefan Stravon, whatever the cop where they shot
Stephon
the guy
Clark.
Stefan Clark, where they shot the guy 20 times in his grandmother's backyard, which I think is a bunch of bullshit on the behalf of the police. But the guy, only thing that he had in his hand was a cell phone. Police don't need, you know, that was a bunch of bullshit. It was 20 times. It was two particular police officers. Eight of those shots out of the 20 were from behind. So he was turned around and he got shot in his back. But any case, here's what pisses me off is his brother. Now, I don't have the right. Nobody has the right to tell somebody how to grieve. And I don't know if Henry, if you've been following this. I don't know about you, Eddie. I don't know if you followed this. I know Joe has. But nobody has the right to tell somebody how to grieve. But this Negro has set us back almost 100 years with him coming on TV, going to these civil league town hall meetings that they have in this area, coming near with all this cursing and all these Negroes coming up in here up in arms, you know what I'm saying, do you love me and my city and fuck the bullshit and yada yada, and jumping up on the podium, you know what I'm saying, sitting in the mayor's face and all this other stuff.
Hold on. I hear where you're going with this. I understand where you're feeling with this. But I think the young man has mental illness. And unfortunately, you know, when somebody's mentally ill, it's kind of hard to say how they should act because they're not wrapped too tight. So I would temper this with, I think
I can't really temper it because the fact of the matter is he came out he introduces himself as a aspiring hip hop artist, and I think that he's trying to use this platform, this tragedy, to springboard himself into people's living rooms, into people's eyes. Now, it's one thing you being from a civil liberties group, especially an African American civil liberties group, that's sitting here and your whole theme is like Black Lives Matter about police brutality and things of that nature, and you know you want to express your disgust and your disgust and hatred for the way how law enforcement particularly deals with African American males, compared to how they deal with Caucasians or anybody else. But there's a way how you do it. Now, I know I bring my big tail up here on this radio show, you know what I'm saying, and I sit here and I may drop a couple of N-bombs and do that, but this is all four of us talking, expressing ourselves, and we don't have, outside of hoping to educate our audience, we're sitting here just having a normal conversation as if we would do this if we were on the phone. But when you're dealing with a, I won't call it a national tragedy, but it's something that has been put time in these last, say, 10 years that has been forefront in the mainstream media about police brutality and African-American males. There's a certain way how you do it. There's a certain way how you talk. There's a certain way how you look. And I'm not basing everything on visual things, but there's just a proper way that you do it so that you can get your message across. Do I think it might be wrong that you may drop a couple of colorful metaphors or may have a T-shirt, you know, like my boy Al Bundy used to have, "No Ma'am," that may signify something? That's not an issue. But when you come straight, when you're coming on a national stage or even a local stage and you're trying to put your point out there, there's a certain way how to do it so that your point can be taken seriously and that it can be received. This guy, if anybody has followed any of this stuff, this guy has, he's been coming out, this guy has completely set us back over 100 years. Worse than the lady who was like, "I ain't got time for that." Y'all remember that chick or whatever the case. It doesn't make any sense why he is presenting himself. Anybody agree with that? Has anybody been following this? Y'all been following this?
Well, I know you spoke of it the other day when you were talking to me, and I still have yet to see who this guy is that's talking about it or whatever. And I guess Joe hit a point. If the dude's mentally ill or has mental, situations or issues or whatever, then it's kind of hard to judge or whatever, you know. I mean, just because he introduces himself as a rapper, I mean, you know, some mentally ill people introduce themselves as Superman. So that doesn't hold a lot of water, but if this guy's got serious mental problems, I mean, it is what it is. No matter what, you know how they're going to see us anytime. You know it's going to be dragged through the mud either way, whether he has mental problems or not. Folks tend to just want to, I don't know why the media tends to gravitate to those folks anyway. Like you said with the chick that, I ain't got time for this and all this other stuff. That's what they want to show. That's what they want to portray us as, because some folks like to say that's how we all are.
The way I see it, I really believe, and from what I've noticed and things that I've gotten through the media, they said that this young man has some type of mental illness. They also say they think that his brother might have had some type of mental illness, because the original report was of a man breaking glass, breaking windows on cars indiscriminately, but not stealing anything. So when the police came out to investigate this, they found a young man breaking the glass that ran off, and then they started searching backyards and found Stephon Clark. That's not to say that Stephon was that young man that was breaking the glass on those cars. So, I think the young man is not handling it well, to say the least, but I think that also at the same time, I'm not going to cast judgment on this man, because I believe that there is something wrong. There's something else going on here other than him being outlandish. I think that there's probably something going on in his head that he can't control. Because, I mean, we've never seen anything like this before, and most of the time, most people in this type of situation handle it differently. They handle it a little bit more. They handle it more in a more dignified manner. This right here just looks like a manic episode almost, you know.
Eddie, did you hear anything about it or anything like that? Been following it? Okay.
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
And
no.
just the last thing, and this is for, I know me and Henry are somewhat average gun nuts. I guess this started last night or maybe the day before. Listen here. A gun is not toy. It's not a toy. When you're handling a firearm, you need to treat that weapon, even if it is unloaded, you need to treat that weapon as if it's ready to rock and roll at all times. Don't be pointing it at folks. Don't be putting your finger on the trigger. Always point it downrange or away from anybody. The reason that I'm bringing this up is there was a live stream. So it was these two dudes and a chick sitting in a car, and they was all in there with their guns, you know what I'm saying? And the dude in the back seat was, you know what I'm saying, he was pointing it around, and there was a female in the car. She took the gun. She starts pointing it around, but then in the video, maybe when she gets the gun, she points it at this one guy, you know what I'm saying, and starts, this is how we do up in Texas, and yada, 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 and woozy woo. Then she whacks it. Now, the guy in the back seat sits there and says, yo, don't be acting all scared, you know what I'm saying, the gun's unloaded. But the dude sitting in the passenger seat, he's like, yo, I don't feel comfortable about this, you know what I'm saying, I don't feel comfortable with you with the gun. Soon as he said that, you know what I'm saying, the girl starts running off at the mouth again, and boom, fires one off, hits the dude in the head. These Negroes jump out the car, hold and haul tail. All this was streamed live on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? So they ended up, now it was clearly an accident. Nobody, you can have a conspiracy theory behind all that if you want to, but for the most part, it was an accident. They ended up arresting the girl. Her name was Deborah Damper or something like that. End up getting arrested. They put her on a $2,500 bond. They arrested her for tampering with evidence. She tried to clean the gunpowder and stuff off of her hands or whatever. The dude didn't die. Supposedly he is on life support, and I guess he started showing some improving signs. So as of right now, he's still alive, but with a headshot gun wound. And this, if anybody has seen the video, this was a clear. This wasn't a glancing shot or anything like that. He got hit straight up at the top of his maw, because when he leaned over, he was leaking like a faucet. So all the lesson to learn in this one. Stop with all the gunplay. You know what I'm saying? Stop with all the gunplay. Even if
Well, first of all, these were obviously idiots anyway.
Yep.
They had no business even having weapons or firearms in their possession, period. You can see that they had never had any training. I'm going to tell you, when I first saw it, I thought it was a hoax. Because
me too.
Because of the quality of the sound, you didn't really hear the pop, and the way he started leaking, it looked fake. She's going to be charged with involuntary manslaughter if he dies. That's because it's the reckless handling of a firearm in the commission of a death. It's going to be involuntary, probably. I'm not a lawyer, but you look up the definition of involuntary manslaughter, that's what it is. Because this was just, okay, some folks have no business with weapons. I would hope we can almost guarantee that none of these people had a permit to carry a weapon, that they were illegal weapons, because they definitely had no business with weapons in their possession. And now somebody's clinging to life because somebody was stupid. That's the kind of stuff that just makes you sick, and it puts a hard line on the gun control freaks. Well, I shouldn't call them freaks, but the people that want to overdo it. You can be pro weapon and anti weapon at the same time. It's about having stricter checks, background checks, doing the mental health screens, make sure the people that aren't supposed to have a weapon don't have them, and still, you know, let folks that want to legitimately carry weapons or own and possess weapons do so, but you got to do so in a way that's conducive to safety at all times. And we don't have that. And, you know, we just don't have that right now. We don't. That's why I say you can be pro-gun and pro-anti-gun as well.
Right. And that even goes to show, like, I don't know about Joe up there in Maryland, but down here in Virginia, for me, Eddie, and Henry, and this is thanks in part to the NRA and lobbying some of the state legislature. When I originally got my concealed permit, and I'm not sure about Henry, I know, I think Eddie also, you actually had to physically go to a class. And in that class, you physically had to take apart a gun so you can learn how a gun operates, how to put it together. You had to physically handle the gun, and you had to go to the range, you know what I'm saying, and shoot within a certain degree of accuracy that they can certify to say that you know how to fire a weapon. Now, that's no longer required for to get a concealed carry permit, at least in the state of Virginia. You pay $25 and you can go online and take a class, get past your little 25 question test, print out your little certificate, and take that down to the courthouse to get your concealed carry permit. Completely disregarding gun safety and being able to properly operate, maintain, and handle a gun, which, you know what I'm saying, we clearly see in display that none of this was learned, taken into account in this video. And again, you know, my heart, you know, I hope the guy recovers. I recovers from all this, but you know, this was completely avoidable, 100% avoidable.
Well,
you know,
go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead. Well, I think that I am definitely I'm one of those people that errs more towards the side of training and gun education. I do believe that there are certain types of weapons that should not be in the market, or at least it should not be out there unless you have special training to have these types of weapons. I believe the NRA and its quest to support lobbyists, not gun owners, has overstepped its bounds and made the market so open so that that there could be more gun sales that it has made the community dangerous, because now you, just like you said, people can get a concealed carry permit and they don't have to meet certain stringent criteria anymore because of lobbyists, because of past legislation that has weakened gun control. Whether this weapon was legal or illegal, I also believe that because it used to be, I remember back when I was a kid in Arkansas, NRA actually used to have education that came into the school that taught kids about guns, about not touching your father's parents' guns when they're not around, make sure you had supervision. Don't ever point a gun at somebody, even in jest. You know, they used to have that back in like the early 80s. And somewhere along the line, they moved from being gun education and gun owner advocacy to more of lobbyist advocacy and advocacy for larger pursuits like Remington and Beretta and a few other companies that are out there that are trying to sell weapons. And I think we've lost the direction of where we should go with gun control. And it's gotten to the point where I believe if gun control advocates, we'll put it like this, if Second Amendment advocates do not become gun control advocates, we might lose the whole thing at some point. Because more and more we're seeing people getting shot. We're seeing mass shooters in schools. We're seeing proliferation of guns into the hands of mentally ill people. And I think that what's happening is that as we see this proliferation of the weapon getting into the hands of people that shouldn't have them, it ends up with a negative effect of bolstering the point of view of the person that wants to get the Second Amendment all together. So I say this, America is about swinging pendulums. We swing all the way to the left, we swing all the way to the right. Usually there's an equal but opposite effect of what happens. If we don't watch out with this far swing to the right we've had with gun control, we're going to end up seeing a far swing to the left, and it might not be able to come back if certain legislation. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, Virginia, I mean, you got to remember, Virginia's open carry state. So when you start talking about having a concealed carry and taking tests and all that other stuff, if you're prior military, all you have to do is fill out the form, take it
down to the courthouse, and you're good. Which I don't necessarily agree with, because you got some military folks that have never carried a sidearm, talking about a pistol, you know, they've only shot.
As a veteran, and you know this too, there are people in the military that we would issue weapons to. Remember that?
Absolutely.
We would not issue weapons to. I, as an officer there, I know of three people in my career when I was in the military that they got ready to issue a weapon to that person. I said, not her. I said, or no, not him. And I would pull them aside, and I sit down and I talk to them, and I say, hey, look, I cannot trust you with a weapon because you're either too erratic or whatever. And I put it straight out to them, and my commander had no problem with me doing so, because I need to know which way the bullets are flying. If we're in a situation where I got bad guy in front of me, I don't need bullets shooting into my back.
In the Army, well, I can't speak for the entire Army, but I know places that I've been and overseas and different things. If you had that type of situation, you were looking at a dishonorable discharge. They get rid of you because, like, the main thing Joe just said, when I go out there to war, I don't worry about bullets in front of me. I cannot. There's no way I can be successful having to worry about guns, weapons, or ammunition or whatever hitting me in my back because somebody doesn't know how to use the weapon or somebody's mentally challenged, or you know what I mean? And, you know, you think about it. You're in the military. You have some level of brainwashing that was done to you, especially like in the Marines and in the Army, in getting you all gung-ho and all these other things. But along with that, too, came certain other things like esprit de corps and loyalty and honor. So, you know, even though you had racism, people tell you don't have racism in the military, that's a lie. You do. But when it came down to, and I didn't do any combat time per se, But when it came down from folks that I've talked to, and even in just practicing, going to the field and doing what you do, all that was put aside when you was in combat mode, even if it was just training. You know what I mean? Everybody, and you had to be that way, because if you weren't that way, then there was a problem. So, like I said, just because you've been your veteran or whatever, like I said, it took nothing for me to get mine. I took my DD-2, a copy of my DD-214, up to the courthouse, filled out the little form, gave it to them. Within 7 days, because they did the background check, they made sure everything was all right, and 7 days I got my concealed carry in the mail. But I only got that because I wanted to conceal my weapon. If I wanted to do like a lot of folks around here do, carry it open on my hip and make sure that I don't ever conceal it, because that could be a problem. As long as it's the one concealing this out in the open, in quotes, I'm supposed to be okay. But really only certain folks around here can do that and feel really, really safe in doing it.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I don't, because I've actually been in a situation where I've had to shoot somebody in the military, and I'm going to let you know, having a gun on you does not make you technically safer. In fact, it makes you more apt to go and shoot someone. Because my thing is this, you know, you learn hand-to-hand combat, you learn all these other different types of actions to use in what they call levels of force, right? But I'm going to tell you, there are certain people that join the military because they think it's going to make them tougher, or stronger, and they're going to go for that gun first. And I would see, and I would think, even out in the civilian sector, you're going to see them gravitate towards getting a weapon, carrying a sidearm on their hip, and being the more, because they're going to feel like it's having a 7-pound piece of courage on their hip. And the next thing you know, when they get into an argument where they might have, in normal situations, said this is not worth it, walk away, or if you had to, you have to knuckle up. But these folks are going to immediately go to their sidearm. It goes immediately from what could have been a bad argument, maybe somebody gets popped in the nose, to turning into, now we're calling the calling a wagon to take somebody away. And I think that's why I'm not such an advocate of open carry. And for concealed carry, I think that you need to have some type of test on understanding the law, understanding the weapon, and accuracy of the weapon. Because if you're in a concealed carry situation, I would assume if there's something that goes down around you, you have your weapon so you can use it. You need to be able to shoot the person that you're shooting at and not 5 or 6, 7 other people in the general area. So, I am an advocate for competent gun control. I am not an advocate for open, free, wheeling access to weapons, because not everybody deserves to own or possess a weapon or be in the situation where they can shoot it. I just don't think so. I think it's unsafe for a lot of people. It not only makes other people unsafe, but makes them unsafe. It makes other people unsafe. And situations where they might have gone home with a black eye turns into somebody going to the morgue. So,
right.
Yeah, we have that vigilantism. We had this lady up here in Falls Church at the Home Depot. Well, there's somebody stealing our.
What did you just
Depot.
Call it, Henry? What did you just call
Vigi-
it?
Okay. You know what? You won't correct people now. You tell me what you call it.
It's called vigilantism.
Yeah, okay, there you go. You said it. So she – somebody was stealing out the store. He was in the parking lot. Okay? She was in the parking lot. He came running out of the store. The security guard chasing him. He wasn't even running in her lane towards her or nothing. This woman had her concealed carry. She pulled and started shooting in the parking lot. And of course, she got arrested, but she could have hurt a bunch of people. So that's just a classic example of why some people have no business carrying a weapon, period, concealed or open carry.
Yeah, because, I mean, nobody should be getting the death penalty for petty theft. I mean, that just it makes no sense. And I've heard this, I've heard of these types of situations happening multiple times, where it's usually happening in Walmart parking lots, Target, duties at Home Depot, Lowe's. Somebody that just happens to be carrying either open carry or concealed carry that doesn't have enough education or wherewithal to use that weapon, pulls the weapon and shoots somebody that was stealing from the store or somebody who was in an argument over a parking space. And I've heard this multiple times. It's crazy. I mean, this is where the proliferation of weapons is taking us. My first thing that I got out of the military, I came to Maryland. I go to a range here in Maryland because, and I was thinking about, right before I got out, I was thinking about, I'm going to join the Navy shooting club or something like that. And then I was thinking about getting in it while I was in reserves so that I could possibly end up going and shooting for the Olympics or something like that. While I'm at the range, I see all these people doing all this crazy stuff, people wearing camouflage and all kinds of rigs and everything all over themselves. And I saw the worst muzzle discipline. I saw the worst gun safety at this range that I'd ever seen in my life. At that point, I decided not to go down there anymore. I had a brand new baby that we had in the house, and I didn't need to be down at some range where some yahoo that wasn't practicing good gun safety ends up shooting me accidentally, and I ended up making my child a father's child, you know. That was how unsafe the range was, but that was because there were so many people that were buying weapons at the time and thinking that this was cool if they had a weapon, and you know, it was crazy. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Well, again, that's it was a tragic accident. Should have never happened. Main point to bring up with that, for everybody who's listening to us that has a firearm, if you have forgotten, let this serve as a lesson. Anytime you handle your firearm, you treat that weapon as it's loaded and it's ready to rock and roll. And that should cut 75% of the accidents out of the picture right there. So we're coming down to the last quarter. I'm going to try to loop this conversation in and generalize it. So when you grow up as a child, a person, a guardian, parents, grandparents, whatever the case may be, they teach you right from wrong. They teach you life's lessons to help prepare you for what you're going to expect as an adult, and to help you, you know, and to help you along as you grow older and then you transition into your own parenthood, so on and so forth. Now, these, what I offer is my opinions and my own thoughts, as well as I can safely say anybody on this show is going to say this, but I grew up with both my mother and my father. When they, of course, they did exactly to the best of their ability, taught me these lessons. But does it actually matter? Is it really that detrimental not to particularly have a particular person, i.e. a mother or a father? Do we have to have them because of the birth issue, of the whole birthing thing, or do we need to have that just in the, for a kid to, you know, grow up and not to sit there and say, well, you know, the city was on the right track? Or is it more significant of the person just to say they had a, I guess, quote unquote, parentheses, a mentor who trained them or at least got them on the right path at birth? It's a lot of times that you see, you hear this a lot, you know, this person grew up without a father, this person grew up without a mother, or whatever case, and this led this person to commit this crime or go this way in life or go that way in life. Is it really that necessary? Is it that big that you have to? We all want to have our mother and fathers in life. I'm not saying that, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I know how anybody else feels who did not grow up with a father or did not grow up with a mother. But when you put things in context, it's the lesson that you learned that started you on the path. Wanted to have a little bit more discussion about that, but we're kind of cutting it close on time. So going around the table, what's your thoughts on that, Henry?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a whole family structure. And their family structure just happens to look that way. Father, mother, children. Does it always work out that way? No, it doesn't. It comes down to the teaching, the morality of everything that, you know, goes on as the kids are coming up and so forth. That's what we would have to look at. I don't think. I mean, that's a broad statement, Conley. I mean,
I'm trying to broaden it out in the issues of time. It may not be cutting the mustard.
Well,
you know
well,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, we wouldn't want to broaden it out. We wouldn't want to broaden it out. We would want to rein it in. Because it's already too broad. That's the problem with the question. But I understand the point. I'll say, I guess, you know, who's to say? I mean, we would think that if you have families where there's the mother and the father, and one of those parents ain't worth shit, and they're beating the wife, or the wife beating the husband, because that happens too, and then the kids aren't getting that structure and so forth. So, like I said, that's way too broad of a question. I mean, we probably have to narrow that down a little bit.
I think the point that I'm trying to get at is a lot of times, you know, in the last statement I said, a lot of times you sit there and say, well, I didn't have X, Y, and Z when I'm growing up, when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? But is that a plausible excuse of not having when you're an adult?
No.
So if I'm telling you, Henry, Joe, Eddie, if I'm your daddy or I'm your uncle and I'm raising you and I'm telling you don't steal, don't cheat, don't kill, all the major lessons and stuff, But then you become an adult and you steal and you cheat and you murder or whatever the case may be. So then you come up and have this defense. Well, the defense gets thrown up. Well, I did not have this. He did not have this. This is that, so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? Is that a plausible excuse?
I'd say no. Part of the reason I would say no is that we have a culture that no matter what religion you are, where your background is from, somewhere along the line, you're going to end up in a free education system in the United States. And in that free education system, and our culture of the United States of being American citizens, you know by a certain age what right and wrong is. By at least 18, and that's where the government deems you, local and federal, deems you to be an adult and believes that you are at age where your impulse control should be enough, or should be curtailed enough that you know right from wrong and should be able to make certain decisions. I did not have a father in the house when I grew up for the most part, but I had people around me that mentored me and let me know, hey, this is right, this is wrong, and how I should act. And I still had a mother. Even if you don't have a good mother or a good father, there are people in your community that will be good. I doubt that you're going to go out your front door, end up at a school or somewhere where you're going to meet people that all say, okay, the rules don't apply here. We don't care. I'm not going to do what's right. I'm not going to do what's right. There's somebody that you're going to run into. And I would say a majority of people you're going to run into that know right from wrong, that show you what's right. Now, if you choose not to do it, that's on you. And that's a choice. So when I hear these things, especially when it comes to sentencing in a courtroom, I really don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the person, because 9 times out of 10, I decided to go and sell these drugs, shoot this person, rape this woman, beat this person to a pulp. There is a decision that was made at some point. And if you decided that you wanted to throw caution to the wind or decided that the consequences were that necessary, then that's your decision. But in turn, you must deal with those consequences, especially when it happens. And that's where I stand on that. I mean, we've all done bad things, but we knew was bad, but we did it anyway. I don't think this is no different than that.
And real quickly, Eddie, you serve as a mentor. Now, I can't speak for the children that you do mentor at your church, but you do stand in as a mentor, pretty much doing the same thing which we're discussing real briefly right now to the young men that you mentor at your church. Now, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, you know what I'm saying, and God forbid something happens, you know what I'm saying, do you also agree or disagree that, okay, because a person doesn't have the quote-unquote nuclear family structure, you know what I'm saying, that they'll be able to rely on a defense? Because it gets thrown up a lot when something happens, to rely on a defense that I did not have.
No, not at all. I think that all that stuff is they're contributing factors, but they're not determining factors. And actually, that's why I'm so passionate about doing what I do. I'm actually a product of not having a father at home and having my mom raise me as a single parent and her being not good as a foundational parent on top of that. So as far as my environmental situation and all the guys that were in my life, outside of the abuse that I had experienced through those guys, because of my mom and her poor decisions and drugs and stuff like that, I was the determining factor. My focus and faith in, like, my male role models and everything like that, the people that were around me, they if I would have taken their route, I would definitely be dead or in jail. And I went that route for a minute, but it never felt right. So as I got to the point where I just went with what felt right to me, and I just started listening to my inner voice, I was okay. But I honestly, my most common conversation with parents, because oftentimes they're brought to me because I have about 98% of my boys are in single-parent households. Their parents always bring them and they suggest, hey, you know, I can't teach them how to be a man. And I'm like, eh, well, I mean, there's not really a defining way to teach a person to be how to be a man, nor a way to teach them how to be a woman outside of telling them to stand up to pee. But you need to raise them to be a upstanding citizen. And if you do that, you've done your job. And to be perfectly honest with you, even with my mom being with the drugs and stuff like that, she at least did that. So I took that and I went where I am with that. But that's never an excuse, not having two parents. Again, it's something that's preferred but not needed. And that is evidence with the people that have raised children with a great household, great morals, great values. And out of the several that had the same parenting, the others go off to drugs and all kinds of stuff. So you have two-parent households where the kids turn out bad, and there's one-parent households that turn out Obama. So, I mean, so again, it's preferred but not necessary, and those are, they are contributing factors but not determining factors.
Okay. Well, just for the listeners, this is just priming the pump. We got a little bit carried away onto other subjects, but we are approaching that time, so I'm gonna go ahead and open the floor. Anybody do a quick round table? Closing statements. Start off with Henry.
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, one of the key takeaways tonight, gun safety. You gotta be safe with these weapons. I don't care how big or small. Whether it has a magazine in it, whether it has a clip in it, whether it has a round chambered, there are more unloaded weapons that kill people than you would ever believe. So think about it when you have these firearms, what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, don't be afraid to go somewhere and learn. There are plenty of places that will teach you. That's all I have.
Eddie?
No, honestly, I thought I was concluding when I shared, so, I mean, that's all I really have to say about today.
Joe?
And you know what? I think because it's so important, I back up Henry's statement. You know, too many people are losing their lives over accidents, especially with guns right now. So we need to really be careful. You know, if you're not going to kill somebody with a weapon, you need to not aim it at a person. And that's just period.
Very good. Well, once again, this is going to be concluding another successful show. I do want to thank everybody who takes the time to either listen to us live or download our podcast on Blog Talk Radio, and or through the link on Facebook when I do remember to share it. I do apologize. But we will see everybody in 2 weeks with another tantalizing conversation, maybe a squabble or two between us hosts. Other than that, I'm Big C. I got Henry and Eddie and Joe. Everybody have a safe and productive in whatever it you do, and be easy. Peace.